My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Twerking.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, here we go. Podcast time as we have rotating co-hosts. Al is off, and so yesterday, Fliegelman. Today, the Big Zoo himself. What up, man? How are you?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. How are you?
I'm good. What's happening?
I'm feeling pretty good today. I can't complain. It's a beautiful day outside.
Me and Fleegs, I know it's beautiful out, actually. They're saying a lot of thunderstorms.
Well, me and Fleegs are headed to the Mets game, so hopefully not.
Are you really?
Yeah,
oh,
not
look
until
at that.
Four, hopefully.
Wait, time out. Did you sons of bitches go to that movie yesterday, the Marvel Comics thing, and now you're going to hang out at the Met game?
Yeah, look at that.
Wow, you know? I didn't get invited to no Met game.
No, I know we should. We should have probably thrown that out to you.
What
you know?
A loser.
Nah, well, Fleeks had the tickets. He sent me the invite.
No one invites me anywhere. All right.
I passed the blame off to him.
That's fine.
And the same with the movie.
Little day game over at the stadium.
Oh, it's great.
City Field.
I mean, I live like 5 minutes away, too, so it's perfect. Oh,
I wish I lived close. I say this all the time because we only get to, I would say, 3 or 4 games a year. That's it. Because for me, it's 2 hours. I mean, it's
yeah, that's awful.
The drive is a pain in the ass.
I would never go if it was 2 hours away.
It's,
like, I never go to MetLife.
Understood. And every time I'm there, I always say to my wife or my kids, like, I wish I lived closer. I would love to be a season ticket holder because I love being at the ballpark. So now I have found, not that we've gone this year, but we went a couple times last year. It is, and Al and I talk about this all the time, and it's not a joke. It is so much easier for me to go to Citizens Bank Ballpark. It's farther mileage-wise, but it's just easier. And it's just, but I, you know, I'm not a Philly fan, but I do like that ballpark too.
It's a nice one. I've never been there, but I always see on TV it looks beautiful.
Very much like City Field. Very similar.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take that. But listen, you know what it is? And I never realized this being from Queens, you know, very naively minded, maybe. I don't really perceive too much of how the rest of the country looks at getting in or how Jersey and the Tri-State looks at getting into the city and how far things are for people. So when I think Jersey, and especially like your neck of the woods, more northern Jersey, I'm always like, why would you ever go to Philly? And it's probably like 3 hours away. I went to Philly a couple months ago, and I realized from most of like the places in Jersey, it's like an hour and 20 minutes.
Correct.
That's
I would say
wild. Why would you ever go to City Field?
Because you want to watch the Mets.
You can see them at Citizens
that's
Bank.
Why. Yeah, it's not the same. As someone that has been a Cowboy fan my whole life and – you know, now, thankfully, because of my job, I get to go to AT&T Stadium from time to time. But my whole life, the only time I would see the Cowboys was on the road. Mm-hmm. It's fine and it's fun to see them. It's not the same as when you're actually with the home crowd. It's just not.
I can understand that because you're cheering basically by yourself. You're almost there like
and quietly in a lot of cases.
Well, yeah, you're not gonna get too loud too often.
I'll give you a quick story, and I've told this before, but it was 1988, I believe. 88? No, sorry, wrong year. It was 92. Oh. It was wrong year. I'm getting there. 91 they played. It was 1990. I'm sorry. Okay. It was 1990. Aikman was injured. The Cowboys and the Eagles, I believe, were both 7-8, I'm pretty sure, going into week 16. I don't think there were any buys. I don't remember. But it was the final week of the regular season.
Sounds about right.
And Babe Laufenberg was the backup quarterback for the Cowboys that week, and he was getting the start.
What was his first name?
Babe.
Oh, I thought you said Bagel. I was
no. Like, wow. Babe Laufenberg. He's actually the analyst on their radio in Dallas, their local radio.
Big Babe.
And so my dad gets tickets to see the Cowboys and Eagles at the Vet. Now, my dad's a Giant fan, so no skin in the game, didn't care, but wanted to take me to see my first Cowboy game, and he picked the Vet. So he's like, you can bring a friend. Your brother's coming too. He was also a Giant fan. And we end up sitting not far up in the upper deck, but we're in the upper deck. Now, I've heard, even at 16 years old, I had heard of stories about how crazy Philly was. So I'm like, well, I ain't wearing any Cowboy gear. And my friend, who was just a football fan, didn't care. He wore regular street clothes.
Yeah.
So I don't say anything during the game. Eagles wind up winning. And I would say we had the plan to leave because the Cowboys were losing. They weren't going to win this game. My dad tells me with 5 minutes to go, we're getting out of here. I'm like, that's fine. So about maybe the 10-minute mark of the fourth quarter, something like that. Somewhere early in the fourth quarter, the Eagles score. I don't do anything. No, not a big deal. All of a sudden, I feel like thump on the back of my head. What the hell was that? It was a hot dog.
Look out.
And as I'm looking, a guy maybe three or four rows ahead points. He goes, him, Cowboy fan. And I'm like,
uh-oh.
And I'm like, I got nothing on. And one of the guys next to me, we didn't know, said something like, no, he's no. He goes, he hasn't cheered one time for the Eagles. Cowboy fan. I started getting pelted with pretzels, hot dogs, to where my dad's like, gotta go.
Yeah, see
They threw stuff at me the whole way down the stairs.
Wow.
Wow. So my experience as a fan on the road, not great.
No, not good at all.
That's funny.
I'm trying to think how many times I've been a fan on the road. Not very often. I once went to a Mets game in Cleveland.
Okay.
I went to a Mets game in Pittsburgh. But those two markets, they're calm. They're nice people. I mean, not to say that the people in Philly aren't nice people.
Yeah, no, it's different, though.
Yeah, they're not as intense.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. But when I was at to speak about, like, fights or you know, fandom at games, when I was 2006, so I was 10. When I was 10, me and my dad went to Game 7 of the NLCS Mets and the Cardinals.
Okay.
And after the game's over, obviously everything happened the way it did. Beltran strikes out. And we're walking out of the stadium. And you got a couple Cardinal fans who are kind of perking their chests out on the ramps going down. And, you know, they're in the front. They're standing up on the thing and all that. And then you just see them get ripped down. And as me and my dad are walking by, my dad grabs me away. And I just see these guys getting absolutely destroyed. And I'm like, whoa.
It happens.
And that is one image that, like, stuck with me my whole life. So anytime I ever hear about any stories, like, ever since then, I'm like, yeah, it's definitely
true.
You
just never know. You don't know what people are thinking, what they're drinking.
Yeah, that's a big one.
What sparks the violence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we've seen so many bad fights between Giant and Dodger fans. Like, I've been to L.A. We went to two games when we were out there. The people around us couldn't have been nicer.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole, and I know it's a real thing. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But the whole arrive late, leave early thing for the two games we went to couldn't have been further from the truth.
Yeah.
It was tough getting in. And we got in time for first pitch, but the place was close to packed at first pitch. And I remember saying to my wife, now the one game we went to had fireworks afterwards, made total sense everybody stayed. But then the second game we went to, I remember saying to my wife, I'm like, all right, it's the seventh inning. Why are these people still here? Eighth inning. I'm like, go home.
Yeah, exactly.
And in the ninth inning, when the Dodgers won, and it was Kenley Jansen that closed it out, and they play We Love LA and all that stuff, I'm like, leave.
Yeah.
And it took us forever to get out of the parking
lot.
That
sucks.
I'm like, where is this arrive late, leave early crowd?
Yeah, no, that doesn't exist. You know what that exists for? That exists for the playoff games.
What is that? Anyhow, continue.
Yeah, no, we'll leave that be. We'll leave that on the side there. Yeah, Jerry. we were talking, though, before this, and you mentioned me and Fleegs went to go see the movie yesterday,
yeah.
Deadpool 3,
okay.
Which I don't know if your sons, they're kind of in that age range where maybe that would be interesting, though.
No, they're not into that stuff.
It's really my nerdiest of nerdy things is I'm a huge comic book guy. I mean, I guess I have a lot of nerdy things when I think about it. I'm a big sports nerd too, but, I just love it. I love going to these movies and I love in these movies and it's why I love sports too. the passion of the people there, the crowd, like people laughing together, mm-hmm. people cheering for moments together, people clapping when the movie's over, like all those types of things. That's the environment. That's what I live for, Jerry. Don't, I don't know. And I feel like COVID took it away from us for a while.
It did.
And I think people are still recovering for a while from that. And I think industries have died and industries are continuing to grow.
Right.
And grow. But
you have no idea what's on our screen
on the
now,
bounce back.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on over here.
Yes,
people
there
at
is.
Home. There's a lot going on. A lot of distracting
yes.
stuff. And
but I understand being in the Mike and I were talking about this yesterday. Like, you know, sports fans that make fun of people that get dressed up to go to movies and events. We get dressed up to go to sporting games.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing, and you got a similar environment. That's why it's nice being with the home crowd, mm-hmm. like you're talking about, being with the majority.
Yeah, and I love, like, that's what I live for. That's why I'm a wrestling fan. So the thing that I like about wrestling is, like, trying to gauge how they're getting reactions. And I really look for that. Like, I don't watch and go, oh, who's going to win this match?
Right,
I watch
right.
and I go, oh, wow, that was really smart. This guy did this thing in order to re-engage people in the crowd and get them from being on their phones or get them from being on this, because I appreciate the art of it.
Yeah.
I appreciate the art of how you can keep a crowd into it and how a crowd can make events so much better than they are.
All right, so think about Geo Boomer and Geo Live.
Yeah.
When we've done four of them now. Four of them? Yeah, four of them. And no, three of them.
Three.
I'm sorry, three of them.
Yeah, the Bow Parade wasn't a.
Hopefully, we'll do another one. I think, but who knows? But right,
you
three of them.
Away there, Jerry? Easy.
I said, hopefully, we'll do another one. I don't know, but I know we've done three of them. When we do the Memorial Day weekend show, you mentioned the Boat Parade, which I had COVID for, and
that's
I was
right,
in my
there.
Basement on a Zoom thing during that, which was brutal. But when I think about those events, you are so right in that if you've got a lame crowd or a crowd that's not into it. It makes what you're doing not fun.
No, it's
that's
weird.
Why I was wondering, like, being a comedian.
Oof.
Especially if you're mediocre and strong. I don't know, have you ever gone and seen a bad comedian?
I've been at comedy clubs, and I mean, there are some people who will go up there and, you know, listen, they're not on for 20 minutes or an hour like people play in Radio City and
right.
stuff. They're on for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But some people bombed mm-hmm. for 5 minutes, and you got people in the crowd who are like, okay, maybe I'll go to the bathroom here. Or, you know, people being, you could tell people are being nice by, like, trying to stay off their phones, or people just straight up looking
for
at
sure.
their phones. Like, that's the type of stuff that happens there, and you could feel that energy.
Oh, yeah.
It's gross.
And you don't know when you go, unless you're a fan of that comedian.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what it's going to be. And I know when Craig did his comedy series, when he was doing those shows for charity
yes.
at Gotham, I went to a couple of them. One we went to, he had a series of comedians. I want to say it might have been four, I think. And three of them, great. I mean, really a good lineup. It was fun. But there was one female comedian that was just awful, to where she just stopped mid-set.
Oof.
And she's like, I think I'm good.
Oof.
I was like, what? And she just walked off the stage. Now, the other comedians there were great. They really were. It was a fun night. But I remember feeling, I felt bad for her. Like, everything she was trying wasn't resonating with the crowd, and it was just watching a slow death up
yeah.
on the stage.
And the thing that I think for you, and, like, I mean, listen, to a lesser extent, me and for a lot of people in our world and what we do, I mean, maybe not what we do, but in the live entertainment mm-hmm. world, like, when you're in front of a crowd and you're getting no reaction and you're getting just kind of blank stares, it not only feels bad because clearly what you're doing isn't working, but it makes you feel, like, awkward. And it starts to feel, like, self-conscious, and you start to get into a mind, like, I'm like that you don't even, like, you can't even fathom. Like,
yeah.
people who don't do
you
it.
You start thinking too much.
Yes, because that's not. See, some people step in front of a crowd and oh, my gosh, there's a lot of people here. I can't do this. It's a lot. Like, they have problems in front of people.
Sure.
And that's okay. That's some people have to deal with that, and they get through it however they can. Other people, and most of the people who do live performances, are very comfortable in front of a lot of people. So when you have that moment that it's like, all right, nobody's responding. What the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
What are we doing? It hits at 1,000 as opposed to, like, all right, it's just another bad night. Like for Yeah, at some and I mean the live shows were good for us. That's what.
And there's a lot of different types of crowds and things that you do. So when we do a radio show in front of a live crowd, sure, the first time I did it with Boomer and Carton, it was a little nerve wracking. But once you settle in, you're doing your job. And now when we do those, you know, like you know the crowd's there, but you're really just you've done it and you're focused in on doing the job. The live show, I do remember. The first one we did in Jersey City, I remember thinking, we're going to be on a stage with four, like, and it wasn't even a lot of people, comparatively speaking, to big theaters. It was 400 people. It wasn't 4,000. It wasn't 40,000. It was 400. Yeah. And what I realized the moment we went out there where all the butterflies went away was because of the lighting and what's going on, you couldn't see beyond the first two or three rows anyway.
Oh, no.
And so when we went to Long Island at the Paramount, I remember them saying, all right, guys, this is 1,500 now. It's a much bigger theater. And we went in there to see it before the crowd was let in. It was like, holy crap, this place is big.
Yeah.
And then we walked out. It's like, can't see past the first three rows anyway. Didn't matter if it was 1,500 or 15,000.
Mm-hmm. But I think you'll agree, different crowds.
Different crowds, but all of them were very good.
Yes.
They
yes,
were all very good. And then you've got the type of... when you have to read off a prompter in front of people. Now, that's different than things we've done where you're just flying off the seat, you know, flying by the seat of your... It's just, there's different ways of being in front of an audience, and I think you have different, I guess, different nerves and a different comfort feeling, comfortability, depending on what you're doing.
When you see somebody bomb like that, though, it just...
Yeah, it's tough.
It hurts.
Yeah, it's tough.
It hurts the heart a little bit. It's like when you see some of these athletes in Olympics falling... like on the bars or something like that. And I mean falling, not failing. Like
after years of preparation and training, and it sucks.
And you blow it, and then all of a sudden you're sitting there with your head in your hands, just wondering how this even happened. And I mean that's a much greater scale, but you know with the Olympics being on right now and right in front of our faces, I feel like you know kind of parallel there as well.
I wish I liked the Olympics.
You don't?
Nah, it's not. There's nothing. I have nothing against it.
Now that's a competition. I'm shocked. There's no fights in the stands at.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there are. I have no idea.
Maybe.
I have no clue. It's kind of like the conversation for me about the WNBA. I don't have enough. We consume so much already. I don't have the time to invest in another sport. I think, quite frankly, I would think Ice Cube's 3-on-3 basketball is something I'd probably like.
Okay.
I don't have the time to watch it. Yeah. Do I think the WNBA is a good product? Probably. I've seen Caitlin Clark at Iowa. I know she's exciting to watch. I don't have, for the record, they could be watching you, just so you know. I don't have the time to invest in it. Like, am I going to, here's a good example. The WNBA is on during the baseball season, right? We agree?
Yeah.
Okay. If the WNBA is on at 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, am I watching Mets and Cubs or am I watching the WNBA?
I'm never watching the WNBA.
No, but my point is, and this goes with the Olympics
too.
That's
no disrespect. It's just...
But now the Olympics are on at night for us in primetime. So what am I turning off? Last night I had Yankees-Phillies at 6:40 and then the Mets started at 7:10. Am I turning those games off to watch the Olympics? I'm not.
No.
And on the weekend... when I do get 2 hours and I look forward to watching the PGA on CBS, or even if I want to watch the LIV because I do like some of those golfers, am I watching the Olympics or am I watching what I like? It's hard to, like for me, it's hard to get into it because there's no time to watch it.
Yeah, it's a lot going on too and it's all over the place. And now they got a lot of it on Peacock too. So, I mean, I find myself a lot of the times, like I'll flick it on and they'll have something that I'm not really interested in, like a sport like equestrian or something like that. And I'll just be like, yeah. And whereas typically I'd be like, oh, let me go find, you know, handball or European handball or something like that, where I never watched a sport, but I played a little bit in high school, not like in a league or anything, like in gym class, played a little bit in high school. I like the idea of it. I like the idea of like, you know, all these sports. So I do like checking in on some of them, but I feel like the fact that it's on Peacock a lot right now is taken away from it.
And maybe.
Streaming, man. Streaming is the future, but I'm not.
Well, taking away from it, but if you think about it in this regard, in the past, these would also be things you'd have no access to watch.
It's true.
All you would be be able to watch is what they put on ABC or NBC or whatever network it's on.
NBC.
Right. So now you're still getting something on NBC like you normally would, but with the apps, all of a sudden you can watch anything.
Yeah, you can watch the full fencing tournament.
If
you don't just have to watch the finals.
If you are into that, absolutely. God bless you. Enjoy.
A girl from Queens, actually, now I feel like a jerk because I don't know her name off the top of my head right now or have it written down, but a girl from Queens, she attends Harvard now. She won the silver medal in one of the fencing competitions, so shout out to her. If you do know the name, you could tweet it at me. Go right ahead. But, Jerry, I did want to drop one more thing on you here.
Yeah.
And
you came prepared. I like it.
Pat Boyle dropped this diamond on me the other day. 300,000 condoms being shipped to the Olympic Village or were shipped to the Olympic Village.
That's like a story every Olympics about all the sex that's being.
You know, but, like, do you really think 300,000 condoms are getting used in that Olympic Village?
Well, how many athletes are there?
You're probably, like, conservatively, you're probably talking about, 30,000 athletes tops with their coaches, maybe?
Is it that many? I don't know.
Like, with coaches and, like, all that kind of stuff, maybe 30,000 people?
Well, I would tell you this. You got 30,000. Let's use that number.
And they're not all in the village.
No, but let's use that number right now. If you're talking 30,000 athletes, how many fans are there, family members are there, to just come up with a number of people that are within
The
general proximity of the Olympic Village, then how much time are they there for?
Two weeks?
I don't know. 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
I guess if you lose, you probably take off right after. If you're the first day, you're out of there.
But don't you want to be there for the closing ceremonies? I don't know how it works.
I would milk it.
So if you're talking about 30,000 athletes, them handing out 10 condoms to each athlete, are they all being used? No, of course not. Are a lot of them being used?
Yeah. What do you think we should do with the non-used ones?
Well, I don't think they give them back, so my guess is that they will come home with them.
Well, I think I have it's an out-there idea, but it helps a lot of people, I think. Now, I think you take those unused condoms, and much like the Super Bowl shirts or the championship shirts of the teams that, you know, who lose in the Super Bowl, we take those condoms and we send them to our old folks' homes. So we can protect our old folks from all the STDs so running rampant.
That is a thing. I do know
community.
That. Sounds good to me. Why don't you get on that?
I mean, I think we need the show to get behind this. I think this needs to be a show cause.
Well, are you in again tomorrow?
I am here tomorrow.
Good. So present that to them tomorrow.
All right. We can have a Boomer and Geo live.
Condom distribution.
Exactly. For all the senior citizen homes.
That would be funny.
We'll do one live at, what's the one that John and Sue?
I don't know. I have no idea. You're funny.
No. Not a bad idea, though. Listen, you got to protect our old folks, man.
Yes.
You make it to 85 years old. You storm D-Day.
I want to make it to 100.
You make it to 100. And you storm D-Day. You did the whole thing. And then you get gonorrhea, and that's how you go. You know?
Gonorrhea.
Gonorrhea.
Yeah, I know.
Got to be careful.
I just read something this morning. I mean, you want to talk about terrible and something that you didn't even realize was a thing. One of the female chefs from MasterChef, is that a show?
Yeah.
Or Top Chef? Maybe Top Chef is a show?
Both of those are shows.
She was diagnosed with tongue cancer. I never heard of such a thing.
I had my mom's friend. When I was growing up, had tongue cancer. She had to have
a lot of the tongue removed.
Yeah, like more than half.
That is brutal.
I mean, I think she ended up getting some stuff to replace it. I can't even tell you.
So at least she survived it.
Yeah, some type of prosthetic. Yeah, she did survive, thankfully. But she has some type of prosthetic in there. But you can get a prosthetic. But you're a chef. I mean, you're losing that now. That's all gone, and that's terrible.
Just awful.
Anytime you hear any type of cancer, it's terrifying because especially one that you're not familiar with. Now, this is an unknown thing to you about me. But before I was here, when I was in college, I interned at that agency.
Oh, okay.
And I worked on a head and neck cancer drug.
Really?
Yeah. So that was the product that I was in charge of, you know, Keytruda, actually. Or Keytruda was our bigger
client.
Yeah, exactly. But we were working on PSAs. So I read so many things about head and neck cancer and the mouth and the
everything scary stuff,
that goes into it. It's terrifying because a lot of the time you're not even going to know. And you got to just, that's one of those things where you got to be diligent in terms of going to a doctor's appointment, you know, every year, as often as you need to. And anytime you feel something that's off, and if you listen, you don't go the first 2 hours that something is off. You go after a day, a couple days when things are off or you feel something. And you got to just be on your P's and Q's about things, because you can't, you're at the end of the day, you're the only person that's going to be here for yourself.
And that's not why enough on thousands of you. People go to Princeton Longevity Center, and you should too.
Exactly.
Go to PrincetonLongevityCenter.com.
If I was Al, I would continue that read, but.
Well, we will. I mean, I will tell you. You got to remember one thing about that, and then we'll get out of here. The thing about the Princeton Longevity Center with me and Al doing the reads and going, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you guys probably went there for nothing. And okay, this time around, yes. We spent a lot of money 2 years ago. Like, we genuinely wanted to go, and I was the first one. I spent my money. I wasn't asked to read commercials. I heard Craig doing the commercials, and it was something I always wanted to do. And I was like, you know what? After I got all my Rutgers money from the season, I'm like, I had some extra. I'm like, I'm going. And I called. I made the appointment, and it was a fantastic idea, because I got the scan of all my organs and everything. And so when they then asked us to do it, part of that was, and because Al went after I went, like a month later, because he was intrigued by it. Like, we spent our money to go there. It wasn't a free. No. So when they were looking for someone to do it again, I think part of the reason they picked us was that we were real clients.
Yeah.
We weren't just, oh yeah, we would love to go if it's free. Like, no. We spent a couple $1,000 each two years ago. And I think they liked the fact that we liked their product and their company before it was ever pitched to us.
Yeah.
And so that's people, I don't know if people know that or not. We don't just do it because they asked us to. We did it because we wanted to go, paid our own money to do it, and then this time around did it again for them and now read the commercials.
Yeah, but now that's exactly what you want as a person endorsing a product too. It's something that you're into.
You believe in it.
Exactly.
I think it is. I mean, I've got.
It sounds insane.
And I'm not doing a commercial for them, but. In all seriousness, like, I've got to go to my urologist next week. Oof. And he's like, hey, the nurse called and said, we're going to give you a, what do you call it?
That's P, right?
What's that?
That's P, urology?
What do you mean P?
What does a urologist do?
Yeah, your lower region.
Okay, yeah. Oh. No, I was just making sure.
So they give me a script. She wants to give me a script for blood work and a urine analysis. Okay. I'm like, well, no problem. I said, but I had all that done like early May, and she's like, oh, where? I'm like, I told the Princeton Longevity. She goes, just bring the book in then. She goes, we're good. We'll see everything we need. I'm like, that's fantastic.
Beautiful.
So it's Say good less. Stuff. So,
And that's another thing. I see all these videos they're talking about, you know, they're showing side by sides of, say, gymnasts in the 80s and, you know, gymnasts today and basketball players, maybe not basketball players, but other Olympic sports and today. And I think that, to your point with Princeton Longevity Center and bringing that up, it just shows the continued advancements that we make in our society that just continue to grow us physically.
No question.
And we should never take those things for granted. So when you have something like Princeton Longevity Center at your disposal, and I'm sure, you know, just regular doctors, if you have one too, those are great.
Gotta
Everything go. That you can go to medically that can continue to help you become a better person, that's how you got to continue to do it, man. And we shouldn't waste those opportunities. That's
good job
today. Hey, I appreciate it. You did a hell of a job too.
Thank you. Coming up next, the warm-up show with myself and some of Mike Fliegelman as well. Al will be back on Monday, but we got a couple more days with the Zoo and Fleegs and Boomer and Geo. So I'm out of here. You do the Sia thing, and then the warm-up show's coming up like now.
Zoo!
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.